I'm a little bit upset.
Oh, why?
Well, you know Adam Rosenbach's. Lovely guy.
The comedian, yep. Rosie. Just finished his book, Paris and Other Disappointments. Highly recommended.
Oh, really?
It's really good. Yeah, it's great.
He went to Paris with his dad or something, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right, with Tom, who I've met, his dad. He's quite a character.
And it was kind of like, rebonding thing, was it? Or
yeah, a little bit, but also dad just never been... He left Europe at a very young age. He's German, but he left it like he was really little. Never travelled before. You know, he does stuff like he counts steps, you know, and, you know, he says stuff about the Eiffel Tower. What's so good about that? You know, that kind of stuff. Classic dad stuff, you know. It's good.
No, that's good on him. So anyway, Adam and I went to the same school, Strathmore High.
What an alumni. Whoa.
Now, I don't know whether he sent them to you or not. Did he send you comments on me? Yeah, so basically what happened is there's a Facebook for people who went to Strathmore High School. I went there as a student, and then I went there as an emergency teacher. And for some reason, they're having this forum talking about me, and it's not all complimentary. If you got,
no.
I can't bring them up on my phone at the moment. Have you got
them? I've got them. Yeah, yeah. This is from Carolyn Deed. Raymond, she's talking to someone called Raymond. He gave me detention for rocking in my chair. He wasn't funny then to us kids anyway. So glad to see him pursue his passion. I mean, do you remember Carolyn?
No.
Deed?
No.
But Wayne Stock.
I remember the names. I don't remember what they look like. I just remember the name. What did Wayne have to say?
I remember him trying out his stand-up routine to us in class before he would go to the comedy club. I think that's what it was called back then. Yeah, probably. I also...
As if I would try out my stand-up routine in front of a class. As if I would do that. I mean, seriously. The thing was... we're going. Give me another one.
Jason Fordham's hit back.
And what's he saying?
Yes, Carolyn. He was a mean emergency teacher who gave out those smelly copies of word puzzles, i.e. the old thingo.
The Ronio thing?
And told everyone not to talk under threat of having to go stand in the corner. I thought he was a prick, actually. I think he was writing scripts. Oh, there you go. Were you writing scripts? You probably hungover.
As a matter of fact, I was. Now, the reality was, here's the thing. I was doing emergency teaching and doing gigs at night. So they would ring me after I'd been out all night working.
Yeah.
Saying, can you come in today?
7:30, don't they?
Yeah. And then I'll come in at recess and I'll teach the last, or do the last four. And I was emergency teaching. So you're actually childminding. So I was a bit crusty, wasn't in the best of moods, and I didn't really – and, you know, Strathmore High, sure, it's a good school, but, you know, at times they could get a little feral. And if you let them go, they'd run over the top of you. So you had to be pretty, pretty heavy with them.
What they used to say in Teachers College, don't smile before Easter, they used to say.
Oh, really?
Don't smile at the kids, yeah.
You got to let them know who's boss. I used to – there was one kid – I remember he was just mucking around, and I said, go stand outside. And I went outside and I said, look, I've had a bad night. I've had a heavy night. Please don't fuck around. He goes, wow, you said fuck. And I go, it's just to let you know, this is the real deal. I'm working at night, so don't fuck with me. I'll be good to you if you'll be good to me. He went, mate, got your back, got your covered. As soon as I talked to him straight, they're okay.
Yeah.
But seriously, otherwise they would run over the top. I think there was one. Is there one there? Is there one about
what about
us?
Jeff Barker? Glenn used to drive to Royal Park Golf Course in his VW to play golf for our sports day. Played quite a few rounds with him. Many balls ended up in the zoo.
Well,
there's several pages, though. Good
okay.
Lord.
But here's the thing. It wasn't a bad gig because I had to sometimes take sport, which meant that if you take sport, maybe you've got to umpire a football match or a cricket match or whatever. With golf, all I had to do was turn up, play 9 holes of golf, just because I was there, and the kids would be all over the golf course playing, but long as I was there in case something happened, that's all I had to do. Occasionally I'd give a kid a ride home, but not really. So I was getting paid for playing golf. Now, he said that I was hitting golf balls into the zoo. For those of you from other states, Royal Park, the zoo is in Royal Park, and there's a golf course next to Royal Park. Seriously, I don't think I'd be hitting golf balls into the lions or the giraffes.
You didn't see a giraffe's head and go, oh, there's a target. Let's see. Come on, kids. Let's see if we can hit this.
Have a crack at that.
And there's more from Sally Evans.
Yeah.
Glenwood was in my year at Strathy High. Always a gentleman, but very funny. Oh, and then Nick Jones, who sounds like an 80s rock star. I'm surprised that some of you had bad interactions with him. He was a sub teacher to me and didn't give a shit. What we did... and practiced a few routines with us. I thought he was funny until I saw him on the Don Lane show.
Well,
did you go on the Don Lane show?
No, I never went on the Don Lane show. What I did do, he wasn't far off the mark. I went on the Tuesday night Daryl Summers show, which was very, very first thing I ever did. And it was me doing a thing, which was a stand-up routine. The character, it was based on Richard Simmons. He was called Richard Siemens, I think.
Oh, my God.
See, already funny.
Daryl wouldn't have liked this. What are you doing? You know, jeez.
Richard Siemens.
Siemens.
And it was facial aerobics. And it's because remember Richard Simmons had all the... All that, you know,
he was great.
He was good, you know, and I did, and it was kind of like character stuff on Hey Hey. And I remember they cut to Daryl halfway through the routine, and Daryl did that thing. Remember he did that thing where you make a circle around your ear, meaning this guy's cuckoo.
No, he's cuckoo. Yeah, he's crazy. This guy's crazy. He's trying to distance himself. In other words,
yeah, he's just going distance. Yeah, yeah. And Jeff Harvey wouldn't have anything to do with me, and it was just the whole thing, you know. Anyway, so as I say to all my students, you know, if I see them again, by the way, your assignment's a bit overdue, about 35 years overdue. So, you know, I think. Yeah. Anyway, so there you have it. You know,
class is out.
I hope they go on to do good things in their life because they didn't get the best of me because they were pretty right.
Did you say you hope they go on to do good things? They're all probably in their 50s now. Their careers are probably winding up, Glenn. I don't think you're amping up your career when you're 54.
Yeah, it's true. Okay. So maybe I should come back at them and go, hello, sunshine, what have you done with your life? Tell me, how are you going?
I knew you were a no-hoper. I've got to tell you that.
Yeah. Let's have a little forum on that. Let's have a little forum on what are you doing for yourself, you know.
Yeah.
And
I don't see the word doctor in front of any of their names, for sure. Or professor.
I mean, there might be a couple of tram conductors in there. Nothing that there's anything wrong with being a tram conductor. Don't get me wrong.
Well, again, they don't even exist anymore. Strathmore High, they're probably just good, solid citizens, I'd say.
Yeah,
you get a few professionals, tradies, everything, I'd say.
Yeah.
Just
like mind you, a couple of stops from the it was a tough part of town, Strathmore. Don't worry about that.
Yeah,
the Pascavale boys, you had the Broadmeadows boys, you had the Oak Park boys.
Glenroy, northwestern suburb. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If you got off at Strathmore on that line, because if you kept on going, you could head into all sorts of trouble.
Yeah.
Anyway, big cheerio to all our friends up in Broadmeadows and Oak Park. And
all changed. Yeah. People want to buy houses there these days. But Strathmore High is a very desirable school now. I've had friends move there to get their kids into the school. So.
Well, they changed it from a secondary school and they now call it a college. I don't know how they do that.
That in my high school too. And also, if you do go to Strathmore High, please stop urinating on the statue of Glenn Robbins. All right?
I think a plaque would be nice. I think a plaque with Glenn used to sit here. I'm happy to buy a seat somewhere.
A urinal. The boy's urinal.
Anyway, save me. Bring on the music.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, welcome to the show. It's Somehow Related, and we are in different homes. I'm here, you're there, but...
I hope this is working. Yeah, I hope this is working. We had an incident earlier today, and we recorded an episode and went out into it went into my ether. Yours was all right. We enjoyed doing it. Because we can never repeat an episode because we know the answer. So
that's gone. That's gone.
Gone into
the ether.
That was
fun. Well, let's get the subjects. We get two subjects. Got to work out how they are related. What are they, Sam?
Brains and lime jelly.
Ooh. One of your... Well, you're
not my favorite things.
Not your favorite. You're smart. You like stuff about the brain, don't you? Or you like more stuff. See, I like stuff about the mind. I don't know.
Once I start thinking about the human body, I start panicking. You know what I mean? Because how's it all kept together? You know, how's it all... I worry about stuff like the brain, so best not to think about it for someone like me, I reckon. Hughesy told me the other day, you know when he got vertigo? You know when he got vertigo at a gig last year?
Yeah.
And he thought he was having a stroke, and I was with him, and Chris Jard walked up, you know, the Carlton footballer.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, was that gig, Hughesy? I reckon you were having a stroke. So that's from a Carlton legend. So he's a Carlton supporter. So he went and got a brain scan, right? Mm,
yeah.
And the doctor goes, no, there's been no recent incidents. Well, you got a bit of stuff going on up here. Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Jeez, I've never seen that. You hate it when they go, that, never seen that before. What do you mean you've never seen that before? What's that?
I know. You don't want, you don't, that's why I you know, and you think about getting a brain scan, but then you don't want to hear that kind of stuff like, oh, God, oh, look at that. Oh, Jesus. You know?
The thing about the brain for me is I reckon that such a small part of it gets you through the day, because the brain is, you know, it's running your organs, it's working your muscles, it's growing your hair, it's working your bowels, and it's doing all that without you thinking. And there's a little pea part of it that goes, oh, gee, oh, those people said some, Strathmore High said some offensive things about me. And you spent, so there's a self-obsession that you spend so much time in. I mean, that's why sometimes when you don't know the answer to something, if you just let go, the big part of your brain will kick in. But we spend so much time in the small part of our brain. This is all in my book, Living in 2020.
Yeah, Living.
COVID. Living.
I love that saying, my brain hurts, which I still, I don't know where it came from, where it was from. It must be from a comedy show, isn't it? My brain hurts.
My brain hurts.
The Young Ones, maybe, or something like that.
Oh, yeah, it sounds like a Young Ones. Yeah,
my brain hurts. Or is it Australia Standing in it? I don't know where it's from, but I say it all the time. Because some days your brain's just tired. You know, you just want to go to bed because your brain hurts.
Meaning that you've got nothing left because you've thought about. Yeah, you've thought about things. You haven't got an answer, and you try to think of something. You go, I've got nothing left. I'm done, you know. And I find that usually my best time is usually in the morning, you know, from about 10 till about 12. Then I take the rest of the day off because I'm useless. You may as well just go and, you know, 10 to 12. Yeah,
10 to 12.
Yeah, and then about it. Or if I'm doing a gig at night, say 8 till 10, then I'm done. That's enough. 2 hours.
Yeah.
Because you think about how much did you when you go to work, how much do you spend so much of your time just, you know, pondering when you're at work? You just wander through things, you know. Because there's two types. There's the automatic brain that you can, like, I'm sure I notice when people come and a bloke who comes and does work here, Ed, and I notice he listens to podcasts while he does really intricate work. I'm going,
well, that's interesting.
So, in other words, that's my analogy again. The bigger part of the brain kicks in, does all the work when you don't even think about it. And you can listen to a podcast at the same time. Same as driving a car. You don't have to think about driving a car. So, you know.
It's like brushing your teeth. They say because you brush your teeth so often, once you put the toothbrush into your mouth, it's an unconscious thing that you do. You don't think about it.
No, that's right.
And that's why you fall into bad habits, brushing your teeth. You don't do the gums, you don't do the back teeth or whatever.
Yeah,
again, that's in my book, Looking After Your Teeth.
How is that going, by the way?
My teeth aren't that good. So I told you when I went to see a dentist after about 5 years, and he goes, do you eat lollies and drink soft drink? I go, are you a psychic? He goes, I'm a dentist. I can tell what you've been doing. So I had very good teeth, but I ruined them, Glenn.
Your teeth are fine.
Let me tell you, when I moved out of home, I had one filling. And then after a year of a shared house, I had four new fillings because of all the crap you eat when you move out.
Well, here is a definite point for a plug for your wonderful show called The Junkies, which I listen to regularly and thoroughly enjoy with you and Kitty Flanagan, which is your obsession is basically, is it sugar and
salt.
Fat? Salt. Sugar and salt. And it's a journey through that world with passion. Yeah. And not only do you salivate as you're listening, you learn something. So, and you guys, let's be honest, you both really know what you're talking about. I wouldn't take you on. I mean, you know, you should go on Hard Quiz or something. That should be your level of expertise.
Oh, yeah, true. Maybe one day.
So what's the brain? It's a lot of water. I think it's like 75% water.
Is it a muscle? They always say the brain's a muscle. Is the brain a muscle?
People say that stupid thing where they go, your muscles have got memories. You like your muscles have got fucking memories. Yeah, that's muscle memory. Where? Point to the bit that's got a bit of memory in it. Where in the muscle there? Where's the memory? It's in your brain, you idiot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
So I don't think it's muscle. I think it's, I don't know what it is.
It's not a muscle. It's got bits of muscle in it, I think, is the correct answer, I believe.
Did your parents eat brains? Did you
eat? Yes, yes.
Lamb so it'd be sheep brains. Would it be lamb brains?
I don't, yeah, sheep brains, lamb brains. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
On toast?
Yeah, my dad liked it. Yeah. God, I hope it was cheap at the butcher. It must have been cheap.
We eat other bits of animals and we don't we don't even think about it. So what's wrong with eating them? What else do we know about brains? Neuropathways, neurons. That's what fires around there, is it? Neurons?
Is it?
I know that if you have a stroke, and let's just, as we were talking about strokes a bit earlier, we don't want to have a stroke. That if you want to find new pathways, so in other words, you have a stroke on one side, you limit the other side, you strap one side down to make the body relearn. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
it
makes that arm refine pathways through to that side of your body, so to speak.
Yeah, right.
I didn't study brain surgery, but
I could have.
I just wasn't really interested.
I'm sure there's a Strathmore High, graduate who's done brain surgery listening.
Who's got the biggest brain in the world? You would have to go for what's his name, the bloke with a beard. He was very. I'm not talking about him.
Einstein.
He was clever. He was very clever. No, animal-wise would be your old sperm whale, wouldn't it?
Yeah, right. Yeah, but I mean, they're not as smart as us. So there's a lot of wasted space in there, isn't there?
If they've got and you would have to say relative to the size of the creature, it wouldn't be that big.
No. And who they always say they've got a pea-sized brain? They always say that, you know, that's an insult. Mm. Yeah, the pea-sized brain. But do you consider yourself brainy?
Are
you
a
brainy person?
God, no. I'm the exact opposite. No? I'm so caught up in neurotic and so caught up in my own shit that I forget to. Whereas I consider you to be, you have a vast knowledge that is, I think, you know, I think in later life you'll probably go into politics and be very successful. you'll be a post-COVID politician. Do you about Dave?
I'm 55. Yeah. I don't know about a later life.
You don't know.
My wife's very anti me going to politics. I would love it, but you know what? Showbiz is more fun, I reckon.
It is, it's not dissimilar in a way because you can spread the good word and you can have a comment on things. And if you want to be a political stand-up, and you could have incredible power. I know you're not, but you could have incredible power doing it.
The guy across the road is a federal member for. He's a Labor guy for somewhere in Melbourne, and he just goes. It's kind of frustrating because you spend your life really disliking the Liberal Party and then you spend half the year with them in a small room. So,
yeah, well, it's very true, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a fight. It's adversary politics is, you know, surely we've seen probably let's not get into a political chat because you would old dummy as of here. But I mean, surely some bipartisan stuff's got to start to happen a little bit over this period.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Because, and that's the thing. If I was a politician, I would say hello to everyone, and I reckon I'd get on well with the Nationals because when I do gigs in the country, the National Party guys are always really good. I always really like them. I mean, I did that gig in Kalgoorlie, and there was a guy in the crowd, and I said, "You look like the local politician." He goes, "Yeah, I am. I'm a local member." And I said, "What party?" And he goes, "Oh, have a guess." And he was One Nation. This guy.
Oh. He was a good guy.
Yeah. I mean. You know, we've talked about it before, but every Liberal Party guy I meet who traditionally, because I'm Labor traditionally, they've always been really nice. So, you know, it's always the way. We need to get brainier people in Parliament, though. I reckon we don't get the smart. Sometimes we don't get the smartest people in there. We need to get the smarter people in there, I reckon.
But is there a difference between someone smart and someone who's a good politician? Because sometimes you're not that smart, but you're a good politician.
Well, like,
you actually, go on.
Gareth Evans is an example of an incredible brain, but. He was a good politician, but not, you know, I don't know if he was too good getting his message across or whatever.
Maybe when you get the combo, which is really smart and like a Paul Keating, you just smart. Oh,
Bob Hawke, yeah.
Yeah, just smart, just great to watch. Just go, they'll slice and dice people.
See, I reckon Turnbull was pretty smart. I reckon Turnbull was, He's quite brainy, I reckon, Turnbull.
I think he is. I'm not sure he had problems connecting those, didn't he? There was a bit of distance between a certain element of the electorate. Hey, look, we're sounding all political on this show. What's happened?
Yeah, but look at, there's some comedians where you just go, they have, when you think about them, you just go, they're brainy. Like your Rob Sitch, you go, well, he's a brainiac.
Yeah.
He's a brainiac.
He's very, what's Rob is interesting about Rob is he's smart, but he's also insightful, and he's interested in everybody, up to a point. You get the feeling from Rob, he's always interested to learn, and he's always interested in your opinion. He doesn't sit there and make a speech telling you, doesn't, because people who are smart and want to continually let you know that they're smart, you just go, I get it, you're smart, you're cleverer than me, you've got lots of good ideas, can we just talk about something mundane? Yeah.
Who's another, Denton is another, when you sit in a room with him, you're like, this guy's pretty, Andrew Denton.
Yeah, he's smart. Yeah.
You go, oh, he's brainiac.
You know? Yeah.
All right, well, we've worked out who the brainy comedians are. Who are the stupid ones, Glenn? Let's go through them.
Well, I reckon, you know, when it, my problem is I'm quite smart, but when it comes to remembering it and reciting it and being able to connect, I just go blank.
But there's also that kind of idiot savant, that kind of, like, they have incredible insight into things, like a Jamone, his observations and stuff, it's almost savantish. It's not.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's not being a uni and done 3 degrees. It's a different kind of smart. Carl Barron, similar, I reckon.
Yeah, they come through a different door. They look at things through a different door, and you go, wow. But what those people do is because we've all got that door in our head, but we don't often look through it. We don't observe the world through that. And so when you hear them doing that, you go, I thought that once and I've never said it, but now you've epitomized what I was thinking. And they're just brave enough to say it a lot of the time. You know, what's Homer Simpson say? It's so funny because it's true. And that's really true.
It's true.
Yeah.
But someone like, we mentioned Kitty Flanagan before, he's very smart.
Oh, very smart. You can just tell
when you talk to her.
Yep.
It's similar to Kate Langbrook. They have...
I know.
And I don't know if there's a difference between male and female smarts, but there is a slight difference, I reckon, in terms of their... I don't know.
There's a sharpness of mind. But I put you in that category, though. No, absolutely put you in that category.
My mind's been dulled over the years.
Too much sugar.
When I went to uni, I would sit in some of the classes and go, what the fuck are these people talking about? What's going on?
No, but you would probably have the insight into the insight. You're probably onto the next bit. You're going, you'd see it for what it is. You cut to the chase. You're the sort of person that goes, you get it really quickly. And you size things up and you go, you know what that is? It's blah, blah, blah. And you go, you're right.
I remember doing English at Arts at Melbourne Uni. I went there for 1 year. And the only other guy in the class was a guy called Greg, who ended up being the lead singer in Things of Stone and Wood. Remember Things of Stone and Wood?
Yeah.
Happy Birthday, Helen. Hoo-ah. Yeah. Anyway, I remember looking at him and these people having this really intellectual conversation. I remember leaving the class and going to him, do you have any idea what they're talking about? He goes, nah.
It's so reassuring when you hear that.
Yes. Yes. I connected with him because he had his old school bag and he had band names written on the school bag, like The Cure. And I'm like, oh, I like that band. I like that band. Anyway, we should talk about Jelly.
Just lead naturally into it. Okay, let's just say I opened up a jelly restaurant, right? Mm. Well, maybe let's just say maybe it was smorgasbord jelly because
close about a week anyway.
Oh, well, you got yogurt? I mean, the yogurt shops. Yeah. I mean, but anyway, so you walk in, you got a red jelly, you got a green jelly, and you got a yellow jelly. Which is the top seller? Which is the
red.
Top seller? Absolutely. Red every day of the week, isn't it?
And you could have two shades of red because I know with my kids, they like jelly. You can have strawberry and raspberry. And they would probably sell more than the lime. Those two together would sell more than the lime and the orange, I reckon.
The lime and the orange, not only is it jelly, it's insipid jelly. Yeah. The orange, it's kind of a yellow, insipidy colour. You go, you're wobbly, you're on it. But the red jelly, it looks formidable. It goes, I'm bringing something to the table here. I'm the real deal.
And when you think of trifles that your mum used to make, it was only ever red jelly.
Of course.
Trifle.
Of course, you wouldn't be bringing your yellows or your greens into that. No, absolutely. So, and that's the bit, always the big seller, I reckon.
Yeah. Definitely raspberry, and raspberry would just be holding it over all the other jellies. And strawberry would be his little mate, you know what I mean?
Oh, like, so you're, they have the annual jelly awards, and the winner is again.
Yeah, raspberry.
Boring.
Yeah. Runner-up strawberry. Yeah, we get it.
Yeah, I know. Where's yellow? He went home early. He just knows he's not going to win.
Yeah, well, what is yellow? Would be pineapple or lemon, wouldn't it? It could be either.
Yeah. So what is, it's gelatin, isn't it? Which am I right in saying it was made from cows' hooves?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And still to this day, I think it is. Yeah, you can get organic ones that are made from natural stuff, but still the classic jelly has still got gelatin in it, which it must just be an animal byproduct. It's got to be. Mm. I can't see how it's not.
A lot of sugar.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how would you like... The kids have a Freddo frog in the jelly, frog in a pond.
So, like, hang on. Do you make this?
Yeah. I've made it.
So, at what point do you put the frog in?
Not right at the start.
Oh, see, you know what you're doing. Yeah. Who said you were stupid?
Yeah. And I told you off air, I just made hollandaise sauce for my eggs. Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Mm. And I have made homemade wagon wheels in this COVID, which was, they were fantastic.
Oh.
Homemade wagon wheel. Mm. Yeah. Now I think it is more my partner makes them, but I've seen her, I've made them a few times. As it's starting to set, you drop them in the top.
But how do you know when it's starting to set?
Oh, it's a tight. You can tell it gets less wobbly. You can move it in a.
But is it in the fridge when it's setting?
Yeah, but you can have a look. Yeah, and if you want to set it quicker, you put it in the freezer. Yeah.
A lot of work. Am I right in saying, not that I've ever, but you can buy rude shapes to go in. You can buy breasts. You can buy penises. You can buy.
I know. You should have seen the kids' party where we served them up by mistake. That was terrible. It's terrible.
A great big penis on a big red penis in the middle of the table. Raspberry. Who wants some raspberry penis?
Still famous in the neighborhood for that. Yeah.
I tell you something else about jelly. Yeah. If you ever have a colonoscopy, have you had a colonoscopy?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I love it.
Jelly was the only food that you could have for 24 hours.
Oh, I don't remember that.
You could have jelly. You could have jelly. I'm pretty sure you could have jelly. And what jelly did, it tricked you into feeling like you had food in your stomach.
All I remember about my colonoscopy is that you had to drink this drink called Fleet.
Oh, of course, you've got to empty it first.
Empty your system drinking this sort of cordial Gatorade thing, which made you go to the toilet a lot. And then I kept vomiting, and I rang up the woman, and she said, look, don't worry about taking that. We'll give you something else when you get here.
Oh, so
thinking they were going to give me a pill. Or
they gave you an enema.
They gave me an enema.
Oh, no.
And I always think of ugly Dave Gray lying in a hospital bed when the nurse walks in. Are you a friend or an enema? That wasn't a pleasant experience.
Because I rang them too. I had the drink, and I had it, I don't know what time it was, sometime in the morning. And I'm sitting there and I rang them. I said, nothing's happening. Oh. And they went, don't worry, you'll be right.
Yeah.
Then, later on that day, seriously, you couldn't.
It's not pretty.
You can't start a conversation or you can't start watching a TV show because you're
indisposed, as they say. Oh,
and you just don't like being around yourself. It's barely belly plus 100. Anyway, there's a lovely image. There's a lovely image for all our folks at home.
Hope you're eating breakfast.
Okay, so jelly.
Lime jelly.
Yes.
Look, I love lime as a flavour. Don't get me wrong. I love raspberry as a flavour, but I also love lime. So when you get a lolly, I love a lime one. So I'm not against lime jelly. I just do think raspberry is streets ahead, basically.
Isn't there a spate of, not spate, where you could have a jelly with vodka in it or something?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there was. Yeah, jelly became...
How do you have it? You just eat it
it's
like
in a shot glass. I think it's in a shot glass, isn't it? With tequila and jelly or something like that.
And what do you do? What do you do? You just
drink it. You drink it or get a little spoon.
Eat it with a little spoon.
Yeah, sometimes the jelly can be not fully formed, so it's a bit dumb.
Because you would think that the alcohol would have some way would stop the firming of it. You know. Mm. And did you see? And if you had to choose between a firmer or a softer. You're always going to go a firmer jelly, aren't you?
I think a firmer jelly. Yeah.
Nothing. I don't like an insipid, watery insipid one. I always reckon put a bit less water than they say.
Yeah. What about junket? Remember junket, which is like
I quite like junket. That was one of those blind ball ones for a lot of people, were they?
Yes.
They wouldn't like junket. And Sago. What's Sago?
Oh, Sago. Oh, I love Sago. Yes. Little balls. Sago pudding.
Little balls.
Yes. Little balls. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Like lychees. Kind of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's obviously in Asian cuisine, they love a bit of that stuff. All right, let's have some thinking music. What are we going to have? What do you reckon?
Brain.
Brain. Can you?
Oh, is there something in? What about Wizard of Oz? Something in? Didn't he?
Oh yeah.
Have a brain.
Like that.
Was there? There was a sketch I saw which was quite good by, what's their names? Mitchell and Webb, is it? That's the guy.
Oh, okay, yeah, the British guys. Yeah.
David Mitchell. He's on. Yeah, he's funny. The guy. Yeah, yeah. He's on the Lion Show.
Would I lie to you?
And Webb, I don't know who he. They did a sketch about. Maybe I shouldn't explain it. But a guy goes to a party and he's a brain surgeon, and this is what happens when he. Can we hear that? Maybe he goes to a party and because you know when you say what do you do for a living?
Yeah,
I'm actually a brain surgeon.
Yeah.
Let's have a look. Mitchell and Webb, the brain surgeon sketch.
Why is that? Are you a doctor?
Careful. Not a doctor. I'm a brain surgeon. Big difference. Big difference. Yeah, I actually know a joke about this. What's the difference between a doctor and a brain surgeon? One's not exactly brain surgery. The other is brain surgery. what do you guys do?
I'm an accountant.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I could do with an accountant. Filling in those tax forms can get really confusing, can't it? Still. It's not exactly brain surgery, is it? I mean, brain surgery, believe me, is very complex. Are you an accountant too?
No, I work for a charity.
Oh, that's a very selfless job, isn't it? I really admire you. I don't think I could ever do what you do. I say that because it's emotionally draining, not because it's hard. I mean, it's not exactly brain surgery, is it? Which, as a brain surgeon, is what I do.
Oh, Jeff, they keep you late at the Space Centre.
As always.
And this food rounder. Have you met Lionel?
No, hello, Lionel.
So, Jeff, how do you earn a crust?
I'm a scientist. I work mainly with rockets. It's pretty tough work. What do you do?
Well, I don't mean to boast, but I'm a brain surgeon.
Brain surgery? Not exactly rocket science.
Oh, very funny.
There you go. That was David. What's his name? Mitchell.
David Mitchell.
He was the rocket scientist. Yeah, it's not funny. Actually rocket science. Very funny.
It's not like rocket science. I remember on Spicks and Specs. I've been on a few times. Whatever.
55. Yeah.
55. And yeah. There was a guy playing with all these pipes, and I said, he had all these pipes that he made noises through, and he goes, is that complicated? He goes, mate, it's not rocket science. I said, well, it actually is a little bit like rocket science. It's a lot of pipes. Everyone laughed. It's killer.
You know why it was funny? Because it was in the moment, and it was
in the moment, that's right.
On topic, you know.
Let's not try and recreate it. Just be quick. Can't be funny, be quick. That's what they say.
Yep. I say any joke on topic is allowable, unless it's too racist. But even if it's inappropriate, then anyway,
still funny.
So we're now, and this is the part of the show where by the way, if you're listening for the first time, welcome.
Yeah,
and I hope you're all doing well in the COVID. It is tough for certain sections of Australia, and we send all our best wishes, especially for those. We're in stage four.
We're in Victoria. So,
yeah.
Sictoria.
Yep. I think, you know, people sort of did it before and they thought, yeah, not so bad. Now, the second time around, they're going, phew.
Oh. Yeah.
But I think people will still settle into a rhythm. We're going to be okay. We'll get through.
Okay. Lime jelly, and I'll just have a crack. I think they're the same consistency. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say. Because isn't there a, what's that old joke? I made jelly, but I didn't make enough, and someone says, we'll just slap it in the middle and we'll all get some.
It's not bad.
So, I was going to say something similar, that the consistency of it is not just the weight, because I think a brain is like 75% water or something. There's a lot of water in a brain, whereas jelly's 100%, well, 99.9% water.
What's lime jelly? I mean, why lime?
Yeah, why lime?
Why lime?
Yeah.
Let's get the answer. I'm frustrated. What's the answer?
Brain waves emitted from a bowl of gel or are similar in frequency to a human. The experiment was first performed in 1969 and a second medical stunt performed in 1974 using lime jelly to show that not one test should determine if people are brain dead. Jelly produces things that look like alpha waves when monitored by an EEG machine. These are the same waves that an awake human will produce as long as they're resting and have their eyes closed. The waves that the gelatin produces are much, much smaller in amplitude, so a person would have to be extremely sick in order to get down to the electrical brain activity that might be comparable to gelatin.
Wow, that's amazing. So the jelly is similar to the brain.
So that you could open up my brain and there'd be a big raspberry jelly up there and they go, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So the amount that's shooting around is very similar in a bit of jelly as to the real brain.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
If you're ever in a coma, what do you want me to? I'll come by your bed. What do you want me to play? Do you want me to play a bit of Somehow Related, or what do you want me to?
I just want you to go to my DVD collection and maybe just throw them out and
go through your Google history on your phone.
Yeah, history on my phone and and you can have everything else. You can have my golf clubs. You can have my.
But what would bring you out of a coma? What would you reckon?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Smell or
what would be?
If you know your partner rings you up and goes, Dave, Glenn's gone to a coma. We need something to bring him out. This is what happened to Rodney Dangerfield. He went into a coma and they got all these comedy legends around his bedside, telling jokes. It didn't work. He died, but.
I can't remember the joke, but someone told a story about when Rodney Dangerfield was there and they were just holding his hand and they made a really good joke. I think it was your mate, the podcast that you listen to, Mark Maron. I think it might have been Mark. Would he be the same generation?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he stood. I watched a documentary about Rodney Dangerfield the other night and there was Leno was there a lot.
It was Leno who made the joke, and I don't know where. Maybe I saw it on Comedians on Cars, and he made a joke, and he got a little response from Leno. Oh, it's actually a little response from Dangerfield.
Wow,
he got, and he was in the coma, but he got some sort of response. I reckon he did it. It'd be almost worth going back on Comedians in Cars, getting coffee, have a listen. So.
So what would I get? What could I do? Would it be the smell of something, or
for a start, a pie, of a pie, maybe and a donut. So that smell would be good.
For me, I think the sound of Mr. Whippy. Just play it near my bed.
You'd probably just get up and just sort of.
It was amazing. He got up and ran out of the bed.
Just walked out the door. And then what happened? Oh, well, he got hit by Mr. Whippy Van, unfortunately.
But he died doing what he loved. He died doing what he loved.
Yeah, there you go.